Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray, producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Ray, you feeling a little better today? A little better. Nah, touch and go. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's the day after the election, Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. We're here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you miss a program, we got you covered. We've got all of our programs archived at buckmastershow.com. Actually, they're archived all the way back to the first week that we launched this on another radio station, which didn't work out, but it was kind of like spring training. That was back in January of 2011, so we've got all those shows too. Anyway, we're going to begin, certainly lots to talk about in the monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales are with me. I want to hear from them, but I also want to hear from you, our listeners, 790-2040. I want to hear what your takes are on the election. At 12:30, we're going to go a different direction, but there might be a big sports story brewing in this town. The internet has been full of rumors about our head football coach, that he may be going in line for the Virginia Tech job. Well, we're going to talk to Anthony Jimeno about that at 12:30. So that's kind of a story that's starting to break in the sports world. Then historian Ken Scoville talking about some really serious maintenance issues that are coming up downtown with some of our historic structures. Let's get right into the face-off. Sean McCluskey is to the right of me, Tea Party and Republican Party activist, host of his own talk show, which launched on Monday. He's doing very well. Good launch with the show called Talk of the Town, a news talk show on AM 1030 KVOI from 9 to 10. That really elevates now KVOI, Sean, to how many? We're doing 4 hours in the morning, my show, six hours a day of daily talk here, and we're proud of that on KVOI. Okay, we have David Morales to the left of me. David is, he's a leftist. He admits it. He's also the creator of his own popular website, blog site, The Three Sonorans. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing outstanding, thank you.
David?
Doing good.
So, your takes on the, I'll give you the quick rundown, the city council, the three incumbents, basically winning by percentage-wise about a 2-to-1 margin. Oro Valley, no upsets there. Maybe one of the incumbents of the four.
Ryan Hartung has the closest gap. There's still a few votes to count up there, but only 12,000 people voted in that election, and he's within between 225 or 250 or something like that.
And then the big shocker, David, if you had bet, and I think the safe bet here was of those seven bond questions, the $200 million that would go to roads, that seemed like a sure thing. I was shocked that all seven were defeated.
Yeah, I'm shocked that not only were the bonds defeated, but some of the school district overrides. And, you know, it's just kind of shocking to me because, you know, I think, you know, Sean always talks about Phoenix as a model of Arizona, how, you know, they can do well and Tucson's still in this recession. But, I mean, Phoenix just passed a $31 billion transportation.
Multi-billion.
Like, and it some goes to cops, some goes to this and that. And, I mean, here in Tucson, like, one of the biggest complaints I always hear, even on your Facebook page, is, you know, potholes. And here we have a transportation bill to finally fix the potholes, and you know, there's like a celebration that we're failing. You know, like Frank Antonari's billboards that say Tucson equals poverty, Tucson equals no jobs. It's like the celebration of mediocrity, of failure. And I don't know what's up with you guys. I don't know why you guys.
But you just said it's a shining light on the mediocrity and failure. The mediocrity and failure of the three people that just got reelected that are running Tucson into the damn ground. That's unacceptable. But when it comes to the bonds, that speaks volumes towards your Pima County Board of Supervisors and your county administrator, Chuck Huckleberry. If you, as a citizen, do not approve of the way that your county or town is being run, you tend to vote no and you vote folks out. They voted with their fiscal responsibility. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent. They all said collectively, no, thank you. You're not getting any more of my money. My pocketbook is drained. And then when it comes to the city of Tucson, they elect the same three people that have been running the place into the ground. So I don't get that one. I get the bonds being no, but I did expect two of them to pass, and thankfully all seven went down in flames.
Which two did you expect?
I expected roads, and I thought maybe the economic development.
Yeah. I mean, flood control? Who would have thought that would not pass?
Well, they lumped it together with a bunch of wasteful spending, and that's what the problem was. They had one shiny carrot in each one of the seven bonds that made sense. If you would have line-itemed all of them out, mm-hmm. and you would have made 97 items, I would tend to say that probably 30 of them would have passed because the voters would have went for the sensible, reasonable ones. Flood control, road improvement down Silverbell, if you could elevate it and get some washes to go away in the Tenga Verde area as well. Those would have made sense to the voter. But the voter said, you know, you're fiscally irresponsible with my funds. We're not going to give you any more money.
No, you're right. I mean, the voters do believe that the leaders are fiscally irresponsible. And I think a lot of it has to do with the Tea Party, with the Republicans that run the legislature, because the voters once voted for Prop 301 that says, you know what, we're going to pay an extra tax for education. And what did the Republican legislature do? They robbed monies meant for schools. I mean, how much more horrible does it get? And all because they want to give tax cuts left and right when you don't need to. I mean, there was just on NPR, they had a story about how businesses don't want to come to Arizona anymore because not only is education horrible, but because, you know, we're horrible with the way we treat, you know, immigrants and a diverse group of people. So you're right. I mean, there is no trust in our leadership. And, you know, you always talk about local leadership, but we're under the control of Arizona, right? Arizona gives the money to education. Arizona, you know, trickles down that money, right?
Okay, so let's check this out. We have mm-hmm. Phoenix, the big bad Maricopa. They passed it all of their school bonds yesterday, mm-hmm. every one of them, every single one of them. They also passed, like you said earlier, $31 million in a transportation bond that is going to expand the light rail up there, and it's going to put $16 million into police and fire. They're going to hire 400 additional police officers because, A, number one, it's needed because they lost 25% of their force like we did here in Tucson. Very similar. The one difference is they have families with two kids, individual middle-aged income workers that understand that it's a few more dollars and they can afford it. And that's why they passed overwhelmingly because of the Republicans said, yes, you know, we want to better our community and do this. They liked the plan. They liked the way that they're using the money. They had trust and faith in their government. That's why they passed it. Here, you don't have that.
All right, guys, I want to hear you both talk, but as I said, I want to also hear the listeners. Let's go through these calls, Ray. Hopefully we can do them before the break. Let's go first to Carl. Carl, go ahead.
Yes. One of the things I have not seen broken out on the city council, how many of those would have been reelected if they had been ward-only elections instead of citywide elections? And I'll go ahead and take the answer off air.
Thank you, Carl.
It'll take us a few days to get those numbers, but it'll be one of the things that we dissect. You also go precinct by precinct.
Would you think Margaret might have won in a ward-only?
Prior to the election, I would have said absolutely in a ward-only. Now, after seeing the results and seeing it come out 28,000 to 35,000, I'm not really sure. I would imagine she carried 2 and 4.
Patrick is next on the live line at 790-2040. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, I just wanted to address the Pima County bonds issue really quickly. And I think what's really clear is that the voters do not have trust in the Pima County administration to complete bond projects on time and on budget. I voted for some of the bond issues, just to be clear, but I did so reluctantly because I worked for the Board of Supervisors for nearly 13 years, and I saw plenty of bond amendment ordinances where the scope of the bonds were changed, projects were scaled back, projects on the southwest and west side of Tucson that were promised to the voters in 1997 were barely being completed in 2014.
Okay.
So it's obvious that Chuck Huckleberry cannot get the job done. And the Board of Supervisors needs to respond to this mandate from the people that says we need a better county administrator. We need a better county to be able to complete these projects on time and on budget. Otherwise, no matter how much the developers spend on the pro-bond campaigns, it's not going to work. The voters are not going to trust them.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. It's Patrick saying it's all about trust, guys.
Absolutely, I agree with him.
He's actually right. I agree with him. I think, you know, the money is needed, but unfortunately, you know, there is a trust issue in town. And
how will this affect 2016?
I don't know.
But all of them are up for re-election.
Yep. Jim Kelly is next. Jim is on our live line at 790-2040. Jim, how are you? Go ahead.
I am well, Bill. You know, I'm all I can do at this point is just echo what everyone's saying. This, with regards to the bonds, it was a trust issue. I mean, I am shocked that the transportation bond and the flood control bond did not pass. One of the things that somebody was talking about was doing the forensics on the voting. I'm going to be very, very interested in all the precincts south of 22nd Street, what their voter turnout was, who they voted for, and whether they voted for bonds or not. Because there were a lot of important things that would be not only important to the south side, but to all of southern Arizona with regards to the Sonoran Corridor. So I'm shocked about that one. But, yeah, the forensics are going to be very, very interesting, and I hope I have a good amount of them by Monday. And, again, you know, ward-only elections is the only thing that's going to change the city council.
Okay.
Because as long as the machine exists, it's not going to change.
Thank you, Jim. We'll look for your guest appearance coming up on the face-off, representing the right side of the table on our face-off. Let's take the break right here, Ray. It's 12:16. This is the Monthly Showdown. David Morales and Sean McCluskey with us. There are other callers who we will get to after the break. We do want to hear from people. Everybody's got an opinion, I think, on yesterday's election. We want to hear it at 790-2040.
Hello, I'm Governor Doug Ducey. Christian Family Care does tremendous work to positively impact foster care in Arizona. Today, there are more than 17,000 kids under the care of the state. One significant way you can contribute is through Christian Family Care's Foster Care Tax Credit. It's a simple but meaningful way to impact lives and show your support for the wonderful children and foster families throughout Arizona.
Go online today to fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. I'd like to introduce a few of my friends we do business with and people that I believe make the Tucson area a great place to live.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Don Pooley, former PGA Tour player.
John Fina, former Lancer, Wildcat, and Buffalo Bill.
Bob Logan, assistant dean at the U of A College of Science.
John Kaiser with VIP Mortgage.
Dane Wall, president of the YMCA.
John Lewis, president of Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst.
Joseph Blair, community leader and founder of Blair Trader Group.
Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance.
Wow, this is so great to have wonderful friends like you. You amaze me. This is fantastic.
Diana Cannon, tournament director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout.
Bert Williams with Williams & Associates.
Thanks, all. Arizona Party Rental, your celebration destination. Visit our beautiful showroom on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Buckmaster Show, 1221. It's our monthly showdown. The topic for the showdown, easy today when you had an election yesterday. Lots of people have been calling. Ray, we've still got one on the line, 790-2040. We have John. Hey, John, you're with Sean, David, and Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, my only comment, I guess, is that I own a handful of properties. I'm involved in I'm an investor in real estate, and I also have a full-time job in manufacturing, but I'm aware of what property taxes are up in Maricopa County and in Pinal County, and we essentially pay, from what I can tell, about double what these other homeowners might pay for similar properties, and that's just very frustrating, and that's why I pretty much voted no for most of the bonds, not all of them, but I just want to see some results with the amount of taxes that we do pay. We're not getting the bang for the buck.
Okay, thank you, John. David and Sean?
Well, a couple things. Be thankful that we don't have a renter's tax, because as a property manager in Tucson, I do both Phoenix and the Tucson area.
Is there a big difference?
2.5%.
Whoa.
So if your rent is, you know, $1,000, you're paying $1,000. 205, and you got to put that on your extra every month, and then we have to do the paperwork to send it in. You got to get a tax side. It's a pain in the backside, but it's a way for the cities to recoup a little extra cash. Every time it's been tried here in Tucson, it's been defeated, thankfully. So, you know, the city of Tucson's going to need to make up a $40 million deficit. They're going to try every which way they can. They're going to raise water. They're going to raise trash. They're going to try to do a renter's tax. They're going to try to do a sales tax increase. They're going to have to make up $40 million.
And there's even talk of maybe a city bond road item being on the ballot next year.
It's very well possible.
David, how about school overrides? How did they do?
Well, only Catalina Foothills and Florian Wells passed last night. And it's kind of unfortunate because I know we keep going back to the state, but I think, you know, it's kind of like a self-defeating loop where the Republicans have created this situation where, you know, they hate government, right? So the best thing to do when you hate government is vote for someone who hates government to run the government, and then you wonder why the government's all messed up. So, you know, for example, you know, you have taxes, you have the Prop 301 money, you have all this money that, you know, you're all about the rule of law, right? The Supreme Court of Arizona said, give that money to education. And who enforces the law on the state legislature? Who enforces the law on the governor? No one does. So right now they're holding hostage these schools. And then what you do is you don't trust the government anymore to have your taxes, because the people who run the government use it on private prisons. They use it on all their pet projects and stuff. And their schools are crumbling. And then instead of putting blame where it should be, where, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, we blame, like, you know, TUSD, and we blame, you know, Sunnyside. And like, these schools are suffering, like, really suffering, like, massive amounts of cuts and teacher shortages. And, you know, we put cops in schools before we put teachers in the schools nowadays.
I'm going to use your own words against you. The rich get richer. Catalina Foothills, very wealthy school district. They passed their bond. Flowing Wells, very economically challenged. They passed their bond. Why? Parents are engaged, they care about their students, and they understand the good quality education. Now, the interesting thing is that you mentioned Sunnyside, and you also mentioned TUSD. You also mentioned the big, bad state government, which isn't really big and bad. If you look at it locally, look at the superintendent in Sunnyside. How much does he make? Look at the superintendent, H.T. Sanchez. How much does he make? Look at this shortage of teachers in both of
those. How much does the Sunnyside superintendent make?
He's like $245,
no,
I believe.
No.
And just got a brand new car again.
No.
So if you look at the teacher shortage in TUSD.
These are lies.
If you look at the TUSD shortage, you look at the Sunnyside shortage, why are they short? Teachers don't want to go there. It's an unfavorable environment. Who created that? Top down creates it, yes or no?
The money you get, it comes from property taxes, right? So, I mean, people in Catalina Foothills are obviously going to have more money. People at Sabino even have more money than Pueblo. I mean, there's a big disparity from rich to poor, which also happens to be white to brown in this town. And, you know, that's the way it is.
Population density controls taxes. Your lots are larger in Cat Foothills, so your tax dollars are about the same. When you take the density of a quarter-acre lot compared to a one-acre lot, you get more people per. Your values are lower, but in the grand scale of things, your income's about the same. But it's how you use the money, and they don't use it appropriately.
Let's go back to the live line, 790-2040. David has been waiting patiently. David, what's on your mind? Hi, David. Hello, David. David? Hello, David.
Yeah. I had a comment about the conservatives hate government.
Yes.
First of all, I'm independent politically, and I'm a realist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want the growth of government, don't grow the population. When you grow the population, you grow the government. The states that have the least population in Wyoming and Alaska, they have the smallest government and the lowest taxes. The states that have the biggest population, New York, California, they're the biggest government bureaucracy and the highest government. And the same conservatives, they hate government, they want to grow the population, they want more rooftops, they love Marana's growth. Well, when you get more rooftops and more population growth, you get more government. The more government costs more money, and they have to raise taxes to support it. And this is reality.
Well, if you take a look at Marana did increase a half-cent sales tax. However, every time they've done it, they've sunset it early. They've also made $3.2 million in the last 30 days off of the opening of the mall. What economic drivers are the other cities around the surrounding area doing to recover that kind of money? They're not doing anything. Marana is at least moving forward.
Sean, were you surprised in Oro Valley there seemed to be so much heated opposition to the mayor and three of the council members' decision about the golf course? Was it surprising that they couldn't put it together?
They were ready to burn that town down over the golf course. I mean let's
be
honest. The
pitchforks were ready
absolutely
to come out, weren't
there?
They
were so droves of folks
out
there.
Isn't it a bit surprising that it didn't translate for them at the polls?
A bunch of people signed it, and then you get to the polls, and it's a 50-50 split. But again, I don't know. It's primarily conservative up there, so you have a bunch of tax and spend conservatives in Oro Valley. I mean, you have a 50-50 split. That's disheartening, because you expect them to do better because they've done so well in the past, and then they had this last 12-month period where they just fell on their face. Can they recover? I don't know. The deficit that it's drawing right now is probably going to eat them alive. They're at 1.5, I think, million. Shortfall.
David, getting back to the bonds, what kind of message does this send to people that are thinking of relocating to Tucson?
Well, like I said,
businesses or otherwise,
this election and recent, you know, events have shown that, you know, businesses don't want to come here. We don't invest in education. We are not hospitable to all people. Then you come into Tucson, and it's like the Republicans love to gloat about how bad things are and, you know, put big billboards up to say Tucson equals poverty, Tucson equals no jobs, which, you know, isn't true. It's not like there's no jobs here. There's plenty of jobs. You have a job. We're all employed here. So, I mean, these are just fabrications. But the point is, like, when you're driving through Tucson, what are you going to do? Do you want to come to Tucson when you, all you see is billboards, when you see, you know, Republicans complaining about the potholes, but then they don't want to pay to fix the potholes? And, you know, it's like a self-destructive trap that we're in. And to make things better, you have to raise money. You're going to have to raise taxes. And guess what? We cut taxes a lot. Corporate tax cuts, all this stuff. Just raise the taxes again. Pay for this stuff. I mean, give the money that's due to education. I mean, what more can you ask for? A court order is saying, give us the money that we're owed.
Fiscally responsible government. If they use the money properly, there'd be money for the roads. They could fix the roads. They choose not to. It's their choice. And they're going to be bankrupt in the city of Tucson in 36 months. So good luck.
Fiscally responsible government would pay the schools what they owe them, which the Arizona Republican legislature doesn't, which the Arizona governor doesn't.
They took it to court. They lost. They come out with a plan. It's going to the voters.
You know, that's not that. What? How does that work? Like, the court orders you to pay money, and you're going to say, no, I'm not going to pay the money.
It's either pay the lawyers or pay the money. So they chose to pay the money.
They're not paying the money. They're paying cents on the dollar. I mean, this shows that if it was a private prison, if it was a wall in Mexico, you guys would love it, right? But when it comes to schools, you guys are like, oh, it's bad.
Again, it goes back to being fiscally prudent, and do they use the money the right way? I don't believe they do.
It's 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. David Morales, thank you, David. Hope you have a good week. Hope your teaching is going well. You teach mathematics at?
At Pima Community College, which gets zero money from the state now.
Okay. And Sean, hope you're doing well, and I know you're doing well. We've been listening to you with the morning show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And do you think Coach Rich Rod may be gone?
The rumors point that way. The decommits point that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're a couple of really key decommits. That does
five
not,
and four star.
Yeah, that does not help. And we'll talk more about it with Anthony Jimeno in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, have a great weekend coming up.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson, Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. Magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster on a Wednesday afternoon in Tucson on KVOI AM 1030, live streaming KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. We're going to talk some sports. Anthony Gemino, a sports journalist who for two decades has covered UA athletics, including covering the football beat for the Star and TucsonCitizen.com, and most recently providing sports content for KOLD-TV on their website, TucsonNewsNow.com. He's co-written a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and he is the one of the contributors on the Wildcat basketball pre- and post-game show on AM 1290, The Fan. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well, and there is a big ball game coming up, big in the fact that the Cats really need to get it together here in these final three games, somehow salvage a win and become bowl eligible. But another story that is kind of overshadowing the game coming up Saturday, the internet, especially out of Virginia and West Virginia, is really abuzz with stories about Rich Rod being in line for the job of Virginia Tech, the head coach, their longtime coach, Mr. Beamer, I believe his name is,
right,
is retiring at the end of the season. So what do you make of all of this?
I think I wrote last week for the KOLD website that, and this job hadn't yet opened. Frank Beamer announced his retirement over the weekend, pending, you know, at the end of the season. And I wrote that the one job that I think would be scary from an Arizona perspective if it opened up would be the Virginia Tech job. Rich has been mentioned with openings at South Carolina and openings at Miami. The one at Virginia Tech seems to make the most sense for me. Geographically, of course, it fits. It's a football school. It's not a basketball school. Fans are very passionate. That's a great place for football. Yeah, they bring it and sell out their stadium every week. He can recruit there. He's got ties from Florida up through Pennsylvania in terms of East Coast recruiting. It's not a rebuilding job. I don't think Rich wants to go and necessarily start somewhere from scratch, as he had to do here a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He can win right away. He's playing in a easier conference to compete in than the Pac-12. So all of those things together make sense to me. Now, that doesn't mean that Virginia Tech's first and only call is going to be to Rich Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, the way Arizona's finishing this season won't necessarily be a plus for Rich in terms of hiring. I think that's probably overblown a little bit, because athletic directors have a bigger picture in mind than just how somebody's doing in the last month of one season. But it doesn't help. So I think there will be a lot of kicking the tires from both sides, but it takes two. And, you know, like I said, I'm not sure Rich Rodriguez is Virginia Tech's first and only choice, because that's a really good job, and they will have ample good candidates for that job.
AG, how do the Cats put it together to what looks like the most winnable game for the remaining three? Would you say the ASU game?
I would say the ASU game. I think the Sun Devils have their own problems.
Yeah.
They were not expecting to be sitting at 4-4 at this point in the season, and they have to go play a difficult game at Washington State this week, and Arizona saw how good the Cougs can be a couple weeks ago. That said, I think Arizona State's still in a better place right now than Arizona. They haven't had the spate of injuries that Arizona has had. And then there's still just a more talented team than Arizona. But a rivalry game, you know, how many times have we said that in the last 25 years?
Yeah.
Or 30 years or 35 years that, oh, this team's so much better. There's no chance for Arizona to win or ASU to win. And then we see crazy upsets happen all the time. So I would hold out some hope, I guess, that more craziness can happen. And we've seen it too much to discount the possibility of that. So, I would say Arizona State is Arizona's best chance for a win.
Anthony Jimeno with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Anthony, let's step back, take a look at the big picture. Who would have thought a year ago when the Cats were doing so well and at the end of last season, if you were going to say that Arizona would not be going to a bowl game, which is entirely possible,
right.
You would say you're crazy. This would be a hugely disappointing downturn for Arizona football if this were the case.
Absolutely. And I've seen plenty of people on my social media. I've tried to talk them off the ledge a little bit, because I do see things in a bigger picture. But there's no doubt the season's been disappointing. People were like, well, I didn't sign on for a 5-win season. Well, true. You didn't sign on for a 10-win season in the Pac-12 South title last year either, but it happened. The way I have been trying to describe it is that bad seasons happen to good programs.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every year across the country. Just in the last 2 or 3 years, if we're talking about programs we consider good programs who have had losing seasons or 500 seasons, Nebraska, Miami, Michigan, Georgia Tech, Penn State, it just happens. And a lot of those teams were either coming off great seasons or then rebounded the next year to have a great season. And I think with the injuries, the depth problems Arizona's had, it just took its toll. And on top of that, I don't think they've necessarily reacted well to it.
No.
So there's plenty of reasons why this season has gone completely sideways and then south. But I think it's a bit of a myth, and we've seen it this year, that momentum in sports, college sports especially, isn't linear. You don't get, and we've seen that in basketball too. Sean Miller had that great second season. Everybody thought Sean Miller's arrived way ahead of schedule. Well, that's because he had Derek Williams and got within a shot of the Final Four. Next year he misses the tournament.
Yeah.
So. And I think that's happened a little bit to Arizona. Arizona found lightning in a bottle with Scooby Wright last year, had everything fall its way, and won the Pac-12 South. Probably a little bit of fool's gold there. And I think this season's the same way in reverse.
Basketball, quickly, I've only got about a minute left. Basketball looks very optimistic. We're in the, what, top 12 rankings?
Yeah, that's about the spot Arizona's been slotted in.
And when football goes south here, people like to say, oh, we've got basketball right now.
Yes, we do. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting season because Sean Miller has a lot of different parts that he can deploy in a lot of different ways. So it's going to be fascinating to watch this team grow, and we're going to see it happen really soon because they have an exhibition Sunday against Chico State at McHale, and then the season starts next Friday.
All right.
Amazing.
Anthony Jimeno, we will look for your work before the Wildcat games on the radio, and we'll hopefully have you back soon. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, Anthony Jimeno with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We talk up that area a lot, and why not? It is a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. It's that southwest corner down in New Mexico, Grant County, and there's so much to offer when you go to recreate in the Gila National Wilderness and then do some antiquing and eating at fine restaurants in historic Silver City. Great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. Check out their fine website, Silver City and Grant County, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Back right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use Five Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Back to the Buckmaster Show. Historian Ken Scoville joins me now in studio. Ken, there was a front page article in last Sunday's Arizona Daily Star concerning downtown being at a risk of major flooding. The article articulated that talking about sediment as well as vegetation in the bottom of the channel that has decreased the volume of water that can flow through it. What can you tell us about the flow of the Santa Cruz from a historic perspective? Floods of the Santa Cruz are not new. They go back, thousands of years.
Right. And when we talk about rainfall, two things I think about are obviously the floodplain in Santa Cruz and also our collection of early adobe buildings. And that sort of ties in. If people have gone down to visit the Tucson Museum of Art, and you know where that intersection of Alameda and Main is, if you look out or think about where you sometimes park to the west, the land slopes off very quickly.
Yes.
And then you see the early adobe buildings of the museum complex. That is the historic floodplain edge to the Santa Cruz. It probably would be a 500-year floodplain. But realizing the Santa Cruz would meander and flood up to that close to where those buildings are.
So from a historic point of view, the article in the Star speaking about channeling and the soil sediment from the 1970s, but when was the Santa Cruz, by the early settlers, when was it first manipulated?
Well, again, I sort of think the word manipulated is interesting because if you think about people have lived along the Santa Cruz for 4,000 years, and they manipulated by diverting the water for irrigation of crops, what we call acequias, irrigation ditches. But the first real water Santa Cruz project that I can think of is Sam Hughes was involved, or one of our very early Anglo pioneers, of diverting water for another irrigation project. And we had a series of heavy floods, and that scheme did not work, and the Santa Cruz started channelizing itself. And then you realize by the late 1890s or so, we'd been starting to really pump the water out. We'd had an earthquake in 1887, so that by the turn of the 20th century, the Santa Cruz, as far as the surface flow, was dead.
Yeah, that was a huge earthquake. People sometimes wonder, they say, well, we moved to Tucson, Ken Scoville, because we're safe from earthquakes. Well, in 1887, there was a really big earthquake in what is now northern Sonora, and there was damage to a lot of the missions. And I've heard of and read of historic accounts that the Catalinas, Ken, were covered in dust for weeks.
Right,
and weeks after
the skyline of the Catalinas actually changed, and a lot of the boulders in Sabina Moreno Canyon because of that earthquake.
Big earthquake in 1887. So when was the decision made to start building homes in the floodplain of the Santa Cruz River downtown?
And I think this is a pivotal moment for Tucson, because instead of maybe be thinking about what happened to the Santa Cruz and why isn't it functioning anymore, we thought, oh, this land is available for development. So if you, again, trying to give everybody a reference point, if you're at the Museum of Art and you look to the west, that was land, was cultivated fields, was bought up by Levi Manning and Leo Goldschmidt, two of our early real estate investors and also early politician, and they started building elegant homes in there. And then you would see a lot of other developments of different levels going in on that west, farther west off the historic floodplain edge. But you'd see these adobe buildings that are up still high, like at the Museum of Art. They knew not to build into that historic floodplain.
How are they doing those adobes downtown by the museum? And they've been around. Some of those go back to when actually the Confederate States of America
included Arizona.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking back to the 1860s, certainly. The adobe walls and roofs, how are they doing?
Well, I've given walking tours through that neighborhood for 30 years, and I guess I have a very close knowledge of those buildings from looking at those. And the restoration responsibilities from the Museum of Art have not gone well lately. Again, when the 2006 economy went down, they started not deferring maintenance. They did not get the money from the city. The city gives them a little bit of money, $60,000 a year, even though the city owns these buildings but leases them to the Museum of Art.
So we're talking about five historic buildings that is under the in the portfolio of the museum.
Right. And again, the one building on the block, the historic block of the Museum of Art, that's actually out of masonry is the Corbett House. And it was built after the 20th century, has a pitched roof. It has some roof issues and some maintenance issues, but it's not going to collapse. The adobe buildings, in fact, two of the buildings, the Stevens House and the Duffield House, which is within the Stevens House, have had several different collapse issues over the last 40 years. And when I was watching, maybe in 1993-94, a portion of that house almost collapsed until emergency funds were obtained.
We had the Fish House, the Stevens House, the Duffield.
Okay. The way it really goes, okay, if you go back to the 1862 map, there were three little adobe buildings, the Duffield residence, early portion of the Romero House, and a very early portion of the Casa Cordova. And like so many things in Tucson, things were added on to. So when you look at it today, you see the Fish and Stevens houses, which front on Main Avenue. The Duffield House was incorporated into that. And then Washington Street has the Romero House, and then Meyer Street has the Casa Cordova. They're all 1860s vintage, some possibly even going back to the 1850s.
So several of the buildings were demolished back in the urban renewal craze of the mid-60s.
Right. In fact, this is the 50th anniversary of those decisions. But the urban renewal zone actually got drawn up into the Museum of Art area because they planned to put a Museum of Art. And we lost a wonderful two-story mansion, some other Victorian buildings on the site. But politics were changing at the time, and by the early 1970s, the buildings we see today were saved.
So whose responsibility is it to maintain these buildings, these historic buildings?
This has been what I sort of characterize as not the best marriage. It was sort of a planned marriage. The buildings are actually owned by the city, and the motivation for the city owning them was that there would still be public access to these buildings. But the Museum of Art, when the Museum of Art was constructed and that block was designated for the museum, they were responsible for the restoration and maintenance of those buildings. And over the decades, that's ebbed and flowed. And for the last year or so, I have tried to get the buildings inspected. We now find out that there's finally get the inspection done. There's $500,000 of repairs that need to be done, short term and more longer term. And then the irony of all of this, after the report finally gets out, and I've taken over a year of lobbying to get this done, Tucson Museum of Art director retires.
So we're talking a big winter rainy season here. We're predicting with El Nino, this is not probably the best scenario that's shaping up, especially after flood control was defeated yesterday as one of the bonds.
Yes, and people need to realize those buildings are designed for the heat and to deal with heat and dryness, and they work wonderfully well given that. I always think about Marist College building and how that's going to get through the winter. But I know for a fact from the inspection, the Edward Nye Fish House that fronts on Main Avenue needs an entire new roof. They have done a little emergency patch. But all the moisture issues, that's what kills adobe buildings and causes them to eventually collapse. So I'm continuing to lobby and push with the city. I think the Museum of Art has just sort of backed away. But I'm trying to ask the city, why have funds been spent in other areas, but not to try and at least stabilize and preserve the buildings that you've owned for 40 years.
It's not a lot of money in the big picture, is it?
Not a lot of money, but what I'm worried about that we get so behind in the curve that the buildings can't be saved.
This is a really key part of the downtown Tucson history that deserves to be preserved and should be preserved. And you put a price tag at what, about?
Well, Bob Vint, who actually inspected the buildings, is the preservation architect for the mission.
Yep.
He estimated at about $500,000.
All right. We shall see what happens in that regard. Ken Scoville, thank you very much for joining us. Always fascinating information about the early days of Tucson and bringing it right up to date. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you very much.
All right. Our local talk continues here from 4 to 5. Mike Shaw does his show called 4 Tucson at 4. And then we do the big morning show. Chris and Joe, Wake Up Tucson, 2 hours of talk there. The Daily Double, 8 to 9 with Chris DeSimone and a guest host. And our friend Sean McCluskey now doing the Talk of the Town show from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, along with my fine producer, Ray Allen, will be back with you at 12:04. We'll do it all over again, Ray, at 12:04 on Thursday. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.